The views expressed on the following broadcasts do not necessarily reflect those of KHLT, Take 12 Radio, or our affiliates. The opinions on this show should not be considered as medical, psychological, or professional advice and are those of the host, co-host, and guest. Take 12 Radio and KHLT Recovery Broadcasting are not affiliated with any particular 12-step fellowship.
God is a solution. God is a 12-step.
I like where he's going here.
Helps the community grow, helps us grow. Bonnie has done a phenomenal job.
And you're talking about taking people through a spiritual process, getting them into recovery.
Thanks, Monty, and thanks for all your support.
We need spirituality to make this thing work long-term.
It's an absolute pleasure. You certainly know a lot of people.
This is one of the places that is about the business of the solution.
And now, broadcasting on location somewhere in the vast expanse of the Pacific Northwest, it's the over-opinionated 12-stepologist, the Monty Man.
That's right. Yes, indeed. Well, greetings one and all, and welcome to another episode of the world's oldest and original recovery talk and positive music radio station and podcast, the Take 12 Recovery Radio Show. Roger McDermott from Huntington Beach, California, is right there looking at me smack dab. If you're watching on YouTube, you see his big smile.
Good morning, everyone, and the Monty Man.
Yes, indeed. I'm wearing my Gnome King necklace.
I noticed that. You're all gnomed up.
My fully beaded Gnome King necklace in celebration of the beautiful day it is here in the Pacific Northwest. There's not a cloud in the sky. The temperature is just sweet. And the azaleas are blooming. My garden fountains are running. And the American flag out on my porch is waving. Couldn't ask for a better day.
There you go.
Yeah, yeah. Well, welcome to the show, everyone. So a little update for you. The third Monday of the month for several years has been entitled to Overcome Solutions for Life Today with my co-host, CADC Level 2, Dave Fleming. Dave has chosen to go in a different direction, which is what happens in life, right, Roger? I mean, sometimes
absolutely.
We move on, right? And we wish him well. We are very grateful for the years of service he put in here at Take 12 Recovery Radio as a co-host, and grateful for his friendship and for the time that we were allowed by God to have him here. No, that almost sounds like he passed away. He did not pass away. So just to give you an update there, if you're looking for Entitled to Overcome Solutions for Life Today on the third Monday of the month, we have tons of archives. Just visit us at take12radio.com and click on any of the podcasting platforms listed there, and you can find the archives of that show. So we are moving forward with yet another Take 12 Recovery Radio episode, and these will continue to be the Take 12 Recovery Radio shows every Monday. And we got some new stuff come up, which I'll tell you about a little later on in the show. But today the topic is forgiving, or forgiveness, if you will, or to forgive. And we're going to be talking about that here in just a few minutes.
Excuse me, Monty Man, excuse me, but it's a very important part of the show where you talk about one of those silly things that is spoken of in meetings sometimes.
Yes.
So take it away, Monty Man, with the silly thing.
All right. Yes, silly things that we hear in the meeting that may or may make no sense at all. This is probably, if we were doing a countdown, this would probably be number one on my meter. And people have heard it a million times. Meeting makers make it. Silly. We hear this one a lot, too, even though it's simply untrue in the majority of cases. In fact, most meeting makers don't make it. They don't recover. There is a persistent misunderstanding that AA meetings can make somebody sober. We hear newcomers exclaim, "I'm making all my meetings. The popular press and television also perpetuate this error by depicting AA as being about meetings. Now, AA meetings have many good purposes, making recovery-minded friends, finding a sponsor, and identifying people in need of our help. For such reasons, we healthily recommend them. Nevertheless, such meetings will not make somebody sober, let alone grant them recovery, any more than an opera enthusiast group will turn a member into a soloist or a gardening group make a member into a gardener. Something else and more is needed. Meeting makers who don't make it haven't worked the steps. That's the only program for recovery outlined in the big book. They balked at some or all of the steps for reasons entirely personal to them, which was a recipe for failure. The big book, while sympathetic to their dilemma, offers no other alternative, saying we thought that we could find an easier, softer way, but we could not. With all the earnestness at our command, we beg of you to be fearless and thorough from the very start. Half measures availed us nothing. So as a consequence, for many meeting makers, the miracle of recovery never happens. They never take the steps that allow it. What do you think about that, Roger Dodger?
I concur completely. Yeah, I mean, the meetings are the fellowship.
Yes.
The program is in the 164 pages, and the 12 steps are what changes our life. So we go to meetings to report to newcomers how well the steps work and how awesome our life is as a direct result of a power greater than ourselves and the 12 steps to change our life.
Yeah. Yeah, I love what my mentor says, Chris S. He says, thank God for the meetings. I mean, it allowed me to be there long enough until I was able to actually find a program. But the program is the program. The meetings are the meetings. The meetings are the fellowship. The program is the text. And they're two very different things.
Indeed.
They mix very well. But
yes, they do.
But you got to mix them for them to mix, right?
Well, I love our meeting. I love the meetings I go to.
Absolutely.
They're part of my life. They change my day, but they're not what changed my life.
Yeah. Yeah.
The steps did, and the power of God.
If you disagree with us, we welcome your comments.
Yes.
You can email us at take12radio@comcast.net or comment wherever you are watching or hearing this show. Yes, you may. All right, that does it for Silly Thing. That's actually number two. What was number one? I think we did it on one of the Came Beliefs. Oh, I know. Number one was AA is a selfish program. We won't revisit that, but yeah, there you go. We'll have number three maybe next week. So that does it for Silly Thing. We'll be back here.
I'm not prepared to pursue my line of inquiry any further, as I think this is getting too silly.
Ah. Quite agree. Silly. Right. Get on with it!
Do you ever feel stuck in your recovery? I mean, we all have felt stagnant from time to time. I'd like to introduce you to the book, 12 Essential Insights for Emotional Sobriety, Getting Your Recovery Unstuck, by our good friend and recovery author, Dr. Alan Berger. Dr. Berger has helped to change the lives of thousands of individuals with his work on emotional sobriety, paving a new path to recovery for both the addict and their families. For your autographed copy of 12 Essential Insights for Emotional Sobriety, visit abphd.com. This book is also available on Amazon.
This is Tom Williams
and Alicia Martinez, and we'd like to invite you to join us every Tuesday right here at take12radio.com for the Came to Believe Recovery podcast.
Topics will include a deep look into the how and why the 12-step movement was so successful in the past and how it can experience that success again today.
You can catch up on all our episodes at take12radio.com by clicking on the Came to Believe Recovery podcast banner.
You've tuned into the world's oldest and original recovery talk and recovery music radio station and podcast. For literally thousands of our recovery-focused shows, visit our website at take12radio.com and click on any of the podcasting platforms listed there. Don't forget to subscribe so you never miss a show. That's take12radio.com on your internet dial.
Welcome back. And the way you look tonight. I don't know what it is lately, Roger, but I am just getting giddy about big band, Frank Sinatra, Tony Bennett, that whole era of music. My gosh. What? I mean, these people were geniuses. I've always enjoyed that stuff. Nat King Cole. But lately I've been smitten, Roger. Smitten. I like that word, smitten.
Well, Monty, you know why that is, don't you?
Uh-oh.
It's because you're old.
I knew you were going to say that.
Although listening to big band music is unique. It's completely different than what the general music that we listen to.
Oh, my gosh, yes. Yeah.
It's just wonderful.
All right, you get a bell for that.
All right.
I'm old. You know you're old when your adult children start calling you old man in an affectionate kind of way.
Yes, exactly.
All right, the topic, forgiving. So I'm going to shoot this scripture verse out there for those of you who love scripture. For those of you who don't, grin and bear it. My show, my choice. Micah chapter 7, verse 19, he will turn again, he turns many times. He will have compassion upon us, referring to God. He will subdue our iniquities, and thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. Commentator Matthew Henry says, when God forgives sin, he takes care that it never shall be remembered anymore against the sinner. He casts their sins into the sea, not near the shore, where they may appear again, but into the depths of the sea, never to rise again. All their sins shall be cast there, for when God forgives sin, he forgives all. And he forgives, and he remembers it against us no longer. Matthew Henry. I really think that the key here is not how far the inappropriate behavior or sin, if you will, has been cast into the sea of forgetfulness, but that it's not remembered against us any longer. In other words, it's not forgotten, it's just not held against us. And a lot of people have the opinion, and I'm not sure where I stand on this, to tell you the truth, that, well, I can forgive, but I'll never forget. Well, obviously, God doesn't forget. He doesn't forget things. But he doesn't, biblically anyway, he doesn't hold that against us any longer. So I saw an interesting meme today when I was getting ready for the show, actually. My good friend Marshall T. Posted this, and I asked him if it was okay if I used it. He said, absolutely. It said, you can forgive people without welcoming them back into your life. Apology accepted, access denied. Sometimes we must separate ourselves. What do you think about that, Roger?
I totally believe that. The difference between forgiveness and acceptance in terms of behavior that's not appropriate doesn't mean that you have to accept people back in your life, in your circle of friends, if you will.
Yeah.
But that doesn't have anything to do with forgiving whatever took place.
Right. So I'm going to come back to that meme here in a minute, because I think there's a caution there too, though. So when we forgive, at least my experience has been, when I forgive someone, I'm not holding their offense over them anymore. And if I'm not holding their offense over them, that means I'm not boasting about their offense to other people any longer either, because I may have been doing that in my pain, right? I want to play this sound clip, and I was just looking for sound clips, and I don't know who this guy is. I don't know if he's wackadoodle. I don't know if he's right on target. But I thought what he said was interesting, particularly the last piece that he said. This is a gentleman by the name of Pastor Mark, and we'll come back and talk about it. Here's Pastor Mark.
How do I forgive if the other person has not apologized. It's surprising how little forgiveness has to do with the other person and how much of it has to do with what happens right here in your own heart. So this is so important. I'm going to say six things. Three things forgiveness is not, and three things forgiveness is. This is important. Number one, forgiveness is not becoming vulnerable to abuse. If someone has hurt you or harmed you, cheated in business or cheated in a relationship, that doesn't mean you have to reconcile the relationship with them to forgive. And number two, it does not mean that you forget what happened to you and go on as if it didn't happen. In fact, you would be a fool to do so. Forgive and forget? No. You can forgive without forgetting what happened. Number three, it doesn't mean to remove consequences. So if you forgive someone, if you're a parent, you can still punish a child. If you have been hurt in a relationship or broken into business, the business may still be broken. The marriage may still be failed. The consequences are not removed just because you forgive. So what is forgiveness if it's not removing consequences, if it's not forgetting, if it's not becoming vulnerable again? Well, here's what forgiveness is. Three things. Number one, this is so important. You release the right to revenge. When you forgive another person, you are saying, I no longer am going to hold the right to revenge. Is revenge right? Maybe. Do you have the right to revenge? Maybe. But here's the secret, and God knew this. This is why Jesus said, you have to forgive. In the Lord's Prayer, we pray, forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. That is the only part of the prayer that Jesus expounded upon it. When it's over, he said, if you forgive others, God will forgive you. If you don't forgive others, God won't forgive you. And here's the reality. When we hold the right to revenge, we don't hold vengeance against the other person. We hold it against ourselves. It is our life that is harmed by the desire to seek revenge. So release it and release it to God, and God will do what is right. The second thing that forgiveness is, it's a process. You don't do it immediately. It may take weeks or months or years. And if you can't forgive the other person, then ask God to help you want to forgive. And if you can't ask God to help you to want to forgive, ask him to help you to want to forgive. You must find forgiveness, because what you're releasing is not the other person. You are releasing yourself from the bondage to this anger and frustration that you have held against the other person. Finally, forgiveness is when you can name what was taken from you. So instead of dealing with just the action of the other person against you, name what they took. Did they steal your childhood? Did they steal your innocence? Did they steal your trust? Did they steal your peace? When you can name what was taken from you, you can then release the right to revenge for what was actually taken from you. And in that process, you will find not only that you have a greater appreciation for what God did for you, but you'll find it easier, as Paul says in Colossians, to forgive another as you have been forgiven in Christ.
Pastor Mark, so what it is not, according to Mark, it's not becoming vulnerable to abuse. It does not mean you forget, and it does not mean that you remove the consequences. What it is you release the right to revenge. It can be a process that can take some time. And the last one, when you can name what it is taken from you, what the offense is taken from you. Comments, Roger.
I really like his discussion. It goes into a lot of depth. It's very biblical. Mm-hmm. And he said a lot of things that I have not necessarily processed through.
Yeah.
I really like what he said. In fact, I may ask you to send me that, or I'll have to get that, because I'd like to look at that again.
Yeah.
I thought it was very well said. At the end of what what he had to say, I'm like, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Mean,
he didn't leave anything out. The concept of releasing the revenge concept, the revenge piece, I thought was big. Like,
yeah,
God will handle that piece. My job is to forgive and to identify what was taken or what, how you were harmed. That process is deep. That's really, I thought it was really well said.
In a song that Keith Green wrote, he stated, I'm going to try to get this right. You do what's best and he'll take care of the rest.
Yes.
Yeah. So I really liked it too. And particularly, the last two things that, particularly the last one, but the last two things I wanted to camp out on for a minute is what revenge is. Not revenge, sorry. What forgiveness is it can be a process. It can take years, he said. I never thought of that. So my because our tendency is, well, unless you forgive and wrap it all up in a bow today, you really haven't forgiven. Maybe not.
I don't believe that.
Maybe not. Maybe you're forgiving somebody is going to be a process. It's going to, you know, one of the things my youngest son and my wife both have in common is they're processors. And I remember when Colin was, I think he was in middle school, and one of the few times I actually raised my voice to decibels that were inappropriate, I scared the living daylights out of him, and he ran upstairs to his room. And as soon as I did that, I thought to myself, oh, man, I owe my son an amends here. And I started to go up there to make the amends, and Marcia stopped me. And she goes, nope, don't do that. He's a processor. Let him process it. Now, I wanted to clean it up right now because, quite frankly, it was a bit of a selfish motive. I didn't want to feel the pain that I caused him. So I wanted to fix it. Right?
I'm a fixer.
Yeah, yeah. And sometimes, you know, there's that we talk about in the steps, you know, when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. Yes, we do, but we shouldn't always go to make the amends immediately, because sometimes people are processors, and if we do that, we may ruin our opportunity to make it right in the future. So we kind of know our audience, right? So I thought that was really interesting. And then the other piece, when you can name what the offense has taken from you, it almost sounds a little therapeutic, doesn't it?
It does indeed.
Yeah. That might be something a relationship counselor might suggest. And not to poo-poo it at all. I think it's right on target.
Yeah. I've never heard it discussed quite like he did it. Encapsulated it's, I thought, extremely well.
Yeah.
And you know, in the book, in our program, in the big book, it says it's process, not perfection.
Yes.
And process takes time.
Progress.
It takes prayer. It takes all those things. And the fact that we promptly admit it, well, maybe I promptly admit it to myself, but maybe you process through what's the appropriate action to do.
Yeah.
It's not all, I think it's all process.
Yeah, so as we're progressing through things, we're processing them, and I do have to say that progress, not perfection, is used as an excuse not to do things many times, but that's kind of, you know how we are.
Yeah, I'm not referring to that, though.
No, we're not. And here's the other part.
Being a fixer like you and I, Monty, we're fixers. We want to immediately resolve the issue that we just created.
Because we don't want to feel the...
we want... Exactly. Because I don't want to feel how stupid and bad I was.
I know.
And I want to fix that. Rarely in that impulse does it have anything to do with doing the right thing at the right time for the right reason
it doesn't.
For the other person.
I know. We just don't want to feel the yuck anymore, you know. So we want you to be okay so we can be okay.
Yeah.
You know, oh my gosh, we are so self-centered. And you know, here's the other part. It's spiritual progress, not spiritual perfection. People forget that. That takes it deeper, doesn't it?
Yes.
It's a matter of the heart there.
Yeah.
When we do this. So going back to the meme that my friend Marshall posted, you can forgive people without welcoming them back into your life. I believe that is true. Apology accepted, access denied. Okay, sometimes we must separate ourselves. I think the sometimes we must separate ourselves is also true. I think the part that we might want to be careful of, though, the apology accepted, access denied, that to me sparks a little bit of an attitude. And I think we need to be careful. It's clever. It's a clever little sentence. And it's kind of cool, right? But I think all of it is true. But I think we need to be careful that we're not going, okay, well, I forgive you, but I'm never forgetting it. You know, right. Kind of with that attitude. Or I have that right. Because if I claim my right to not forget it, that's kind of a form of holding on to revenge. You know what I mean? Now, I'm not saying I don't have a right to not forget it. But if I'm claiming that right and I'm making a point of that and I'm driving that home, especially with other people, I think we should watch ourselves. I think we're treading on dangerous ground there, and that'll end up turning inward on us and forming resentments. And we'll end up getting resentment over the whole idea that we're supposed to forgive the person.
Right.
If that makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, the opposite of resentment is forgiveness.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think the concept of having built, you know, having boundaries or fence posts make good friends, that sort of concept.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a healthy thing.
I do too.
I think that's what we're talking about. We were going to have we've forgiven, but we're going to have boundaries in terms of our future relationship. And that does not have to have a bad attitude. Mm-hmm. That has to be a good self-care point of view.
Yeah. Yeah. My friend Marshall also posted, I think it was soon after that, and I'm not going to get this right. I don't know if I can find it. Something to the effect, before you get into a relationship, do a spiritual inventory or something like that. So I think one of the ways you can avoid some of these things in relationships is to not jump into them so quickly. And I'm not talking about necessarily romantic ones. I mean, relationships in business, relationships with your next door neighbor, relationships with the new person that you've become friends with over coffee. You may want, and I'm not saying, you just may want to tread lightly at first and kind of check out the ground rules and the territory before you just fillet yourself open and become this, you know, transparent individual to this person just because they've got some charisma, if that makes
right.
sense.
No, I totally agree. The whole compulsive, impulsive behavior that I expressed during my disease
right.
is not acceptable today. And if I really live by let go, let God, then I have to literally let God be in charge of everything. And I'm always constantly struggling with that.
Yeah.
I say it, I believe it, but I don't always do it. And it's about what I do that makes the difference.
Sure.
It's not my words, it's my actions that define my character.
And you know, so many people take that let go and let God and they misuse that one too, and they make it a cop-out to do things. But, you know, let go and let God, it sounds like, well, I don't have to take any action. Actually, letting go is action, right?
It's the hardest action we take.
Oh, my gosh, isn't it?
It's absolute surrender that completely yeah. is not self-centered.
So I think what Marshall is saying here has a lot to do with boundaries.
I do too.
And I think they're so important. And like you said, the fence post thing, I think they're absolutely essential. What's difficult is when you haven't had boundaries with a person before, things have gone yes. awry, and now you're having to build those fences. That's difficult because they're kind of sitting back going, what did I do, man? Now you got this fence up. You know, you're closing yourself off to me. I mean, gee whiz, dude. You know, I'm just human. Well, I've got to set some boundaries now. And you've kind of crossed the line. What line? You never had a line.
Yeah.
You're right.
I think that requires dialogue. I find that lack of communication and being willing and open-minded to have discussions in love solve all those issues. It's when we don't communicate, don't have dialogue with you know, the person that is involved, that things happen that are not good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because then our feelings and our emotions get in the way, and we make decisions about things that aren't really accurate.
Yeah.
They're not based in truth.
So what about the person that says, okay, you read Micah 7:19, and it's also found in other areas of scripture, where it talks about God casts our sins into the sea of forgetfulness to remember them against us no more, far from the east as from the west, and et cetera, et cetera. But I'm not God. We've all heard that. Probably said that a few times. I'm not Jesus. I can't do that. What do you think of that?
I think it's a total cop-out. Of course you're not Jesus. Of course you're not God.
Right.
But that doesn't mean that we're not supposed to follow what he said.
Yeah.
We're supposed to take action. That means, what that means is I don't want to do it.
It means I'm still pissed. Or I'm not ready to do
whatever.
That.
Or, I'll find some reason to not do the right thing.
Right. Right. Right.
It's like Paul said, I have to do the things that I don't want to do when I don't want to do them.
I think one of the hardest, and this speaks to our ego, I think one of the hardest things for us to do as humans is when there's been a misunderstanding, and because those are a little different than deliberate wrongs done, right? And so there's been a misunderstanding, a lack of communication, and you're irritated and you're not ready to hear the clearing up of the misunderstanding because you're still in the pain or whatever. And there's been a misunderstanding, and you realize all of a sudden, maybe a couple of days have gone by, maybe I did misunderstand, but now you're looking a little silly, right? And so instead of taking care of it, we withdraw and just kind of disappear into the background. And then that relationship is done, right? And then we're having to deal with the grief of that, because usually when relationships come to an end, there's, whether it should be or whatever, there's a grieving process. And so there's a lot going on, a lot going on.
I find that if I go into that kind of mode where I don't want to address an issue, whatever that issue is, it's not good for me. It's just not.
No.
There's something that needs to be done. What it may be that I need to do, I'm not sure, but I can pray about it. And I find that if I have dialogue or open communication with whoever the person is, whatever's going on, to just talk about it. Let's talk about it. I find that when two or more are gathered in his name, it doesn't matter what the subject matter is. If you open that discussion in prayer, the Holy Spirit's there. He will honor the fact that we're honoring him and that we want to seek his will to be accomplished. That removes all the personality, emotions, crazy thinking that we typically and many times have. Mm. And when I do that, I'm in a solid place to have open dialogue and discussions. And You can work through anything when you start that way. I believe that.
Yeah, yeah.
But you got to have two parties that are willing to do that.
Sure, sure. I recently had a situation happen where and this is just my take on it, and I may be wrong, and I'm willing to admit that I'm wrong here, where I felt like there was a huge misunderstanding. It was a communication breakdown and a huge misunderstanding. Part of it was because I'm not perfect, and I forgot some stuff. And I was like, I don't even remember saying that, you know. But if the person says I did, I'm sure I did. And I was willing to talk about it, like you were saying, and said, you know, let's clear this up. Let's have an open dialogue, you know, at least I was going in that direction, and they just shut it down. And their statement to me was, no misunderstanding here. this is what you did, well, and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, okay. And so I had to let it go. The door is open. I'm going to leave that open-ended because I think that's what you're supposed to do. There was a time in my life I wouldn't have. I would have just said, well, forget you then, right?
Yeah, no, me too.
I'm not going to do that today. I'm just, that's just not who I am anymore.
If I was involved in a situation similar to that, if I could have dialogue with the person, I'd just say, have you ever said anything or done anything that you wish you hadn't?
Yeah. You're not perfect. I'm not perfect.
And just let him answer. Because if they answer yes, they say, well, that's exactly what happened with me.
So this kind of brings me to the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. Surprise, surprise. My favorite chapter in the Big Book is We Agnostics.
Me too.
The reason it is for me is because of the title, We, which levels the playing field. Because I can be agnostic. It's a beautiful, remember I mentioned at the beginning of the show, it's a beautiful day out. Man, the birds are singing right on key. The leaves and the trees are waving at me. It's great. And I got all the faith in the world today. But, stick a wrench in my plans and all of a sudden I'm agnostic as the day is long. Well, God, where'd you go? You know what I mean? And so I get it. But my favorite paragraph in the Big Book of AA does not come from We Agnostics. It actually comes from How It Works. And it's in step 4. And this is what it says. Because this has saved my blessed assurance. I cannot tell you how many times, Roger. It says, this was our course. Now, what's it talking about in context? It's talking about when there's been an offense. It's talking about when there's issues between people things aren't going our way and that kind of thing. So when we say this was our course, we're saying this is the direction. This is the course we're going to set. This is how the boat is going to be steered. This is the direction we're going to go, contrary to maybe directions we've gone to before. So this was our course. We realized that the people who wronged us were perhaps spiritually sick. Now, we could stop there and go, he's spiritually sick, bless his little heart. We could do that, or we could read on. It says, though we did not like their symptoms and the way they disturbed us. So the symptoms are the outward manifestations, the behaviors. It's not the core issue. And we often look at a symptom that somebody did as their core issue. It's not, right? So we don't like the symptoms. We don't like the way they disturbed us. In other words, we don't even like how we're feeling about it. Then here it is. They, like ourselves, were sick too. I just leveled the playing field. Now I can't go back and say, well, perhaps he's spiritually sick. Bless his little heart. No, he, like me. I am telling you, there is power in that statement, right? And then it says, so then it gives a directive. It says, this is the solution to it right here. We ask God. That means we're going to pray. We ask God to help us, because we need help, show them the same tolerance, pity, and patience we would cheerfully grant a sick friend. Are you kidding me? Cheerfully? Yeah, that's what it says. But it says we ask God for it because we're not going to come up with that on our own power. No way. Right. And then it says when a person offended, it doesn't say if, when a person offended, we said to ourselves, this is a sick man. So Bill, like he does, he's repeating himself. How can I be helpful to him? God save me from being angry because he knows we're going to get angry. Thy will be done. How can I be helpful to him? Yeah. What can I do to help this situation, not hinder it, not make it worse, and sometimes the best way to be helpful is to just be still and let the person process, right? But here we're taking an offense that's been done to us and we've been hurt and now we're asking God to help the person that hurt us. What? Talk about flipping it on its head. And then this part, Roger, I love this. The next paragraph starts out with this. We avoid retaliation or argument. What?
What Pastor Mark just said.
Yep. Let go.
Exactly what he just said.
Wow.
We give up the right to vengeance.
Yeah. So
that's retaliation.
So there's a recipe for success right here when somebody offends. And it's pretty simple. We level the playing field. Yeah. Like you said, have you ever done anything you wish you hadn't done? Said something that you wish you could grab and put back in your mouth? It's like when you're locking your keys in your car and the door's shutting. And just as it shuts, you're going, it's happening too quick, you know. You go, no, and you can't get it back. Oh, my goodness. To err is human, to forgive is divine. Boy, yeah, yeah. So forgiving. And the reason that I worded it forgiving, I was reading a devotional on that earlier this week that was titled Forgiving. But forgiving, it means it's ongoing.
It never ceases.
It never ceases.
It's like Peter asked Jesus, right? How long should I forgive them? He said 70 times 7, which basically meant forever.
Yeah.
There's no end to forgiving.
Have you ever done the math on 70 times 7?
Yeah.
Most people never get to that number before their heart softens. And so I wanted to speak just a little bit, as we kind of close out here, I wanted to speak a little bit about this not letting them back into our life thing. The older I get, it's weird. I was talking to Marsha last night about something that had happened recently where somebody basically just kind of walked out of my life. And I said to her, I said, you know, it amazes me that I'm not the man that I was. Because there was a time, Roger, when, because I take my friendships very seriously. And there was a time when if somebody who I considered a good friend just turned around and walked out of my life, whether the reason was legitimate or not, it would have crushed me. It would have absolutely devastated me. Talk about being emotionally dependent, right? That's not me anymore. And it's not by anything I've done. It's been by the power of God that's done it. But I'm like, I don't even recognize that guy anymore. And it's not that I don't care. It's that, does it hurt? Yeah. Is it irritating? Sure. But it doesn't knock me off my beam. It just doesn't. I don't have time for that. I got work to do. I got things that the Lord wants me to do. I got things I want to accomplish. I'm not going there. I just don't see the value in spending a lot of time in grief over it. Does that make sense?
I totally agree.
Yeah. Because I was...
And you can play that whole scenario forward. And it's like, so if this puts me in a bad state of mind, a bad spiritual position, a bad emotional condition,
yeah,
that's not healthy.
No.
And if I stay there, that relationship, if they did come back, I'm going to be the problem, not them.
So right. If you're still,
I got to release it. I have to let go of it, and then let God do what God does. And many times He'll do things that we had no clue, no idea. So I try to stop being in charge of those kinds of things.
Yeah.
I'm just not.
And, you know, I've found in working with people within the rooms of recovery that I've known a couple of people in my life that were so dogmatic about never letting that person back into their life in any way, shape, or form. But for the most part, people soften, you know. And what I've found is that person that is bound in their pain, you know, maybe that person is never coming back into my life again. When the circumstance is right, when God is in it and all, never say never, because you'd be amazed how God will soften the hearts of both parties. And I'm not willing to, I firmly believe that sometimes you have to close the door, but I don't believe you should ever lock it.
I agree.
You're not going to just walk in and out at your free will and just, you know, violate my boundaries and then leave and then violate that. You're not going to do that anymore. I'm having to shut the door on this relationship, but I'm not going to lock the door. There was a time I would have locked it and that'd have been it. I'm not going to do that because God doesn't do that, you know. And but I may need to shut it for a time. And so that means, you know, you're going to may have to work on some things to walk back in, but I'm not going to lock it completely off to you. Now, there's probably people listening right now going, well, the door is completely locked when it comes to this person. Maybe it's an area, maybe there was a criminal offense and it was abuse, man. I mean, I get it. I totally get it. And who are we to make judgment call on those things? But yeah, there we go. Okay, closing thoughts, Roger, before we listen to this very powerful song on the topic of forgiveness.
Well, it's obviously a commandment from Christ. It's not a suggestion, and I think we need to be able to understand what that means. I really, like I said, I'm going to revert back to what Pastor Mark said. I thought he stated it so well. He brought clarity to the concept. He said how to take action, what to do and what not to do. And those are the kinds of input I appreciate and I like, and that I will move forward with those thoughts in mind. I mean, one thing for sure is that if we do not forgive, we're the one that lose. Somehow we think we can emotionally wreak havoc or have resentment turn into revenge. We're the only one that's being harmed. The other person doesn't have a clue what's going on in our mind. And it's just, it's a silly waste of energy and time, and it blocks out the spirit of the sunlight. It's just, there's nothing positive about it.
Chances are they're not losing sleep. You are.
Exactly right. No, that's a fact.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Before we listen to our closing song, the lineup for the week. So our brand new podcast, this will be the third installment of our brand new podcast, the Came to Believe Recovery Podcast, on Tuesdays. So tomorrow, the topic on that show will be Let's Talk Higher Power. And then Wednesday, the Monty Man's Meditorial will be on the topic of, who knew, misunderstandings. And then on Friday, Chris S. and myself on the show Walking Through the Language of the Heart, Bill W.'s Grapevine Writings from 1944 to 1970. The article is God as We Understand Him, The Dilemma of No Faith. Wow. It's like, see how these just kind of, they're all kind of related, right? And then Monday, next Monday, my guest will be Donna Marston. She is the host of the podcast Sharing Without Shame. She had me on her show, and so I'm going to have her on my show. She's going to talk about sharing without shame. So that is the lineup coming up, so look forward to that. Never miss an episode, never miss a show. Simply go to take12radio.com and subscribe for fun and for free on any of the podcasting platforms listed there. We do need your help on bringing some of our numbers up on our YouTube channel. For those of you who are old school and like to watch or listen on YouTube, please go to YouTube and subscribe. We would appreciate it very, very much. And as always, would appreciate your comments. All right. This song has been around for a while. It is extremely powerful. It is on the topic of forgiveness. And in fact, it is titled Forgiveness by Mr. Matthew West. Here it is.
Thing to give away, and the last thing on your mind today, it always goes to those who don't deserve. It's the opposite of how you feel when the pain they caused is just too real. Takes everything you have to say the word forgiveness. It's always anger's own worst enemy. Even when the jury and the judge say you got a right to to hold a grudge is the whisper in your ear saying set it free. Forgiveness. Prisoner free, there is no end to what its power can do. So let it go and be amazed by what you see through eyes of grace. The prisoner that it really frees is you. Forgiveness. Forgiveness.
Matthew West. For more of his great positive music, visit his website at matthewwest.com. So who's that person or persons that you've been thinking of during this broadcast? Perhaps it's time to forgive. A special thank you to my co-host this week and all of you who tune in to Take 12 Recovery Radio. Remember that you can catch up on all of our shows by clicking on any of the podcasting platforms listed at take12radio.com. And until our next broadcast, this is the Monty Man along with the rest of the Take 12 Recovery Radio family, and we are wishing God's perfect serenity for you.
This has been a broadcast of Take 12 Recovery Radio and KHLT Recovery Broadcasting.
Yeah, kitty, 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 kitty.
This has been a Chicken and a Pig production.